All right. It's a comforting service. Please put up for me the words of that song. So I want you to sit back now, relax. Some of you are a little too tense. I want you to just relax and be cool. Say to your neighbor, relax. And get some comfort in today. This is a comforting service. Amen. And if you are at home, wherever you are, you know, just chill, just relax, and just get some comfort in your life right now. Hallelujah, it says, I like the words of this song. Hallelujah. I am not alone. Is my comfort always holds me close. Hallelujah. I am not alone. He is my comfort. Always holds me close. In Zechariah, in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. The Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. And in the Amplified, it says, the Lord answered the angel who talked with me with gracious and comforting. With gracious and comforting words. One of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is the ministry of comfort, providing comfort. So in John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, the Lord Jesus Christ said, put it up for us, please. John 14, 26, 27. He said, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. So this is the first thing he will do. He will teach. It's a major aspect, a major ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to teach, is to provide us with revelation, opening of our eyes, clarity, granting us understanding. But that's one aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's a second aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says, he also will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That is his comforting ministry. That is his comforting ministry. The comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of the words of God. When we heard this morning during the offering message, his word, none of his words will fall to the ground. He will perform every word he speaks to us. That's comfort. That's reassuring us. And one of the things the Lord does by comforting us is he brings us into greater peace and greater joy. See there, the Lord called him the Comforter. The Comforter. So one of the things the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer is to comfort us. I don't know about you, but many times I've received that comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a reassuring ministry. It comforts you, reassures you, all will be well. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. Why? Then he reminds you of what the Lord said. He said, we'll bring to your remembrance everything. Everything. He will remind you. And so when he does that, then guess what happened? You have peace. Immediately you have peace. So that's why in the next verse there, he says, peace. I live with you. You see that? My peace. How do you get that peace? It's from the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comforts you, it produces peace and joy in your life. Where you've been worried before, where you've been concerned, where you've been troubled. The Holy Spirit brings comfort. And then that produces peace. My peace, I live with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. There's no peace in the world, my people. There is no peace in the world. You know, last week we were talking about the spirit of worldliness. That spirit of worldliness just produced chaos. That's why we can't be a part of that. We can't live like the world lives. We can't adopt the world's methods. We can't afford to copy the example of the world, whether it is through culture or politics or just carnal ways of living. We can't. We can't. Because all of that is just chaos. But when we buy in to the ministry of the Holy, it brings comfort. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Because this is the way the world gives peace. The world gives peace, and the world takes back it. That's the way it works. Anything the world gives you is going to take it back. If the world gives you money, it's coming back. Take it. Don't be too happy. If you get money from the world gave it to you, it's coming back to take it. Anything you get from the world, you are going to give it back. One way or the other, you are going to give it back. You either give it back through sickness, or you give it back through legal, through prison, through crazy situations. Anything the world, or through sleeplessness. You know how many people have money and can't sleep? Through sleeplessness. They are spending all their heritage on just trying to sleep. As the world gave you money, but it's taking it back. Anything the world gives you will take it back. So he said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world. Somebody say, I have peace. Say, I have the peace of the Lord. I have, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I have the peace of the Lord in my life. Woo! Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Remember, I was sharing with Pastor Tinu earlier this week. You know, I had my annual medical, physical, whatever it's called. You know, I haven't done it in almost 2 years because of COVID. But, you know, my doctor is someone, you know, he just loves to talk. And he talks forever. He just talks. And because he knows I'm a minister, he likes to just stare things and pick. This time he came in, for the first time ever, he says, listen, I've never even asked you, you know, I shouldn't be just calling you by your name. I should either refer to you, he's a Russian Jew. He said, I shouldn't be referring to you by your name. I should either call you father or reverend. He said, which of them do they call you? I said, just call me by my name. He said, no. So from now on, I'm going to refer to you by, I said, no, just call me my name. No. I said, okay, reverend is good, reverend. So, okay, reverend. I'm a heathen. No, seriously. I'm a true story. Last week, Monday. True story. God is my witness. I have read all that I shared all of this. I laughed and I shared all of this with Pastor. I've read all the religious books. I've read the Bible. I've read the Quran. I've read the Buddha. I've studied every religion. I don't believe any of them. I don't believe there is a God anywhere. I believe just forces. Now listen to this. For the first time ever, this has never happened to me. For the first time ever, God gave me an opportunity to witness just purely based on my life experience to a heathen doctor. He said, I don't believe it. I said, tell me how you know. I said, let me tell you how I know the God of the Bible is true. I told him how I gave my life to Christ as a teenager, raised in a Muslim family. I told him certain aspects of my journey. And then when we came to where I am today, I told him how the Lord has given me peace. I said, I described the joy of the Lord in my life, the peace of God. I mean, we rapt attention. He listened and listened and listened. I don't know that anybody has presented the gospel to him like that before. I said the proof that the God of the Bible is alive is that I didn't just read it. I'm experiencing it in my life. And when I finished, he called me a perfect animal specimen. He said, if there are higher beings, this is what he believes, there's a higher being somewhere that control human existence. Like we use mice for experiment. He believes these higher beings use us for experiments. He will classify me as a perfect animal specimen because I presented everything he needs for his experiment. Pending when he gets all the blood work and everything. After I got the blood work, he said, yes, confirmed. You're a perfect animal specimen. Hallelujah. But, this is what I wanted to say to you that tickled me. Now, of course, where we ended up, because with every explanation, he had something else to say. But this is where we ended up. I said, Doctor, there's one difference between you and I. You are secure in what you do. You are secure in your career. You have money. You have security. You have job, whatever. I say, I have the same. I say, I'm just secure in what I do. I love my calling. To minister, I say, I love it. It's security for me right here on this earth. I'm just fulfilled doing it. I say, but the difference between you and I is I not only have security here on this earth, I have security eternity. I say, I have security in eternity. I say, you don't. You don't know what's going to happen to you. He said, I know, I do. I said, how do you know? He said, I read Dr. Wise. I said, who's Dr. Wise? Psychiatrist. Who has done a lot of experiments by hypnotizing people, and they get into this level of consciousness, and so he documented all of this patient's experiences in a book. He says, you go and read that. I said, Doctor, I'm not reading Dr. Wise. I already read the Bible. I read Dr. Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Peace that the world cannot give you. Because if the world gives it to you, the world will take it away. The world will take it away. Anything the world gives you, they'll take it away. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, I give you peace. And I don't believe anybody's ever told my doctor, Dr. Petrov, that the word of God, the God of the Bible, produced peace in their lives. As a living, walking testimony. I said, look at me, I have no worries, no care, no bother whatsoever. Nothing. So I said, if, God forbid, if something sounds somewhere, something is going to happen somewhere, listen, I'm just going to be cool. I'm very secure. I have no fear. Zero. Zero fear. Zero. Somebody say zero. Zero fear. The only thing that produced that is the God of the Bible. As a young man, I was full of worry. My wife will tell you. My middle name was Worry. I worried about everything. I had wrinkles as a young man. I had wrinkles, old man's wrinkle, because of worry. Worry, 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 worry. Jesus took all the worry. That's why life can be so contagious when you have God's peace. Because people want what you have. You have the real deal. You are a child of God. You have God's peace. You have the real deal. It's not make-believe. It's the real deal. It's the real deal, actually the real deal. My peace, I live with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled. And what? Neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be afraid. You have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be worried about. Somebody, put your hands on your heart. Say, I have the peace of God. Say it. Say, I have the peace of God. Peace of God. I'm not afraid of anything. Hallelujah. Not sure which service it was, last Sunday, the Sunday before, we were making this confession. I don't fear death. I don't fear sickness. Does anybody remember? I don't remember what service. I don't fear death. I don't fear sickness. I don't fear. No, I fear nothing. I fear nothing. I have the peace of God. Hallelujah. Then somebody say, well, but you know, you could die. Yeah, what if you die? You go to heaven. There's nothing to be afraid of in death. For a believer, death is a passageway to glory. The glory that you have seen, you now experience. That's what death is. I have the peace of God. I have the peace of God. In Isaiah 51, verse 3, we'll come back to Zechariah in just 1 minute. In Isaiah 51, verse 3, the Bible says, the Lord, he will comfort Zion. It says, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like the Garden of Eden. And her desert he will make like the garden of the Lord. Now watch what he produces from his comforting ministry. Joy and gladness then shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. You know, when the Holy Spirit, when you receive the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit, you sing when there's no reason to sing. You just sing. Songs will just be coming out of you. You don't even know why you're singing. You're just singing because he comforted you. He says he will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. You know what that means? That those things that are not working, he will comfort them. It is not uncommon, unusual for things to not work in our lives. We live in an imperfect world. There's nobody who has a perfect life experience. No human being does. Something or the other in your life will be imperfect. But the Lord said, I will comfort even your waste places. Those things that give you deep concerns in your heart. Those things that you say, I have no fear, I don't care for anybody. You know, sometimes a thought comes to you and is an area you just don't have answers for it. And your immediate subconscious reaction is one of anxiety and panic. And then you catch yourself, in Jesus' name, I have no fear. The Lord will take care of it. But he says even those areas, he will take care of it. He will comfort your waste places. He will make your wilderness like Eden. That is what is not working right now. He will make it work. He will make it work. He will make your life beautiful. Like the Garden of Eden was beautiful. Your experience, your human experience will yet be beautiful again. He will make your desert like the garden of the Lord. Anything, any dryness, any lack, any area where you have insufficiency and lack and where it's just not meeting up to your expectation. Said he will make it like the garden of the Lord, where there is just an abundance of everything. You will experience it. The Lord is comforting you today. I'm not teaching you. I'm just reminding you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit what the Lord has already said. He said he will make your life full and sufficient. Go right back there to Zechariah chapter 2. You see right there, right after he talked about the comfort, speaking comfort, then he said in verse 14, this in verse 13, he said, the Lord answered and talked with me with good, answered the angel that talked with me with good words, comfortable words, or comforting and gracious words. And then in verse 14, so the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem, and I am jealous for Zion with a great jealousy. Do you know you are that Zion? You are God's Zion. God said, I'm jealous over you. I'm jealous over you. In verse 17, he said, I want you to cry again. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall choose Jerusalem. In the Amplified, it says, cry yet again. Thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall yet again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. That's you he's talking about. Your life will overflow with prosperity. Your life will overflow with the comfort of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord will choose you. The Lord will comfort you. I'm not trying to teach you anything new. I'm just reminding you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit what the Lord has already prepared for you. The Lord will comfort you. The Lord will perfect all that concerns you. Close your eyes for a minute. Think about all the areas of your life where you've ever had any bother. Think about any area right now that you ever have a concern. Think about it. Anything that causes you to not be exactly comfortable in your heart, think about it. As you think about it, I want you to receive the comfort of the Lord in those areas. Receive it now. Receive the comfort of the Lord. Receive the assurance of God. You are so precious in His eyes. You are so precious to Him. You are not an ordinary being. You are not a coincidence. You are precious. You are like the apple of His eyes. So receive His comfort. Receive His assurance. It will be all right. It will be fine. It will work out. Don't worry. It will work out. Don't worry about it. The Lord will see to it. Trust Him. Just trust Him. That's your part. Just trust Him. You don't even have to know how it works out, but He will work it out. Somebody say, I'm precious to the Lord. Say, I'm very precious to Him. That's why He said then in chapter 2, verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, in pursuit of His glory, He has sent me to the nations that spoiled you. For he that touches you, touches the apple of His eyes. He who touches you, touches the apple of God's eyes. Because you are beloved by God. You are beloved by God. Please put up for me Solomon chapter 2 verse 3 and 4. All of us are covered. His banner over us is love. We are overshadowed by His love. We are covered in His love. Because we are covered in His love, one, we have no fear, because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. But number two, His love. He says we are convinced in Romans chapter, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So His banner over us is love. Songs of Solomon 2, verses 2 and 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. Give us verse 4 now. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me is love. His banner over you is love. He's always looking to get you to His banqueting house. His banner over us is love. He broods over us in love. Do you know we're never alone? Anywhere we go, He covers us in love. We are precious to Him. We're so precious to Him, that in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 9, He said to the people, I didn't choose you because you were such a great people. I didn't choose you because you had everything. No, I chose you because I set my love upon you. Deuteronomy chapter 7 from verse 6. You are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord didn't set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than all the other people. No, because you were actually the fewest. He didn't choose you because you had so many advantages. He said in verse 8, but because the Lord loved you. Because the Lord loved you, and He will keep the covenant that He swore to your fathers. That's why He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh. Ha, 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 ha. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is the faithful God. He is the faithful God that keeps covenant and mercy. Oh, Jesus. He's the faithful God. Hallelujah. He's the faithful God. He is a faithful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's so faithful. Look at that verse again. Look at that verse of scripture one more time. He says, let's read from verse 6, Deuteronomy verse, chapter 7. He says, for you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord your God chose you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. For the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. He says in verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because he will keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. He's the faithful God. Right. Now, I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 49 for a minute. Isaiah chapter 49, and look at verse 13. He said, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people, and he will have mercy upon his afflicted. See, God is telling you to sing. Sing, be happy, have joy. Because the Lord has comforted his people. Hallelujah. There's no affliction that the comforting ministry and the comforting hands of the Holy Spirit cannot destroy, cannot squash. No affliction. So he said, sing. And then, listen now. In verse 14, it says, but Zion said, talking about you, which the Lord is reporting what you say sometimes. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. And my Lord has forgotten me. How many times do believers say this? I'm not sure God remembers me. I'm not sure God thinks about my situation. He said, verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget. Yet, will I not forget you? I will not forget you, the Lord said. Behold, I've graven you upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your walls. Let that comfort you. Let that comfort you. When you walk through dark alleys and valleys of the shadows of death and you go through difficulties in life, let that comfort you. Let that reassure you. The Lord, your walls are constantly before him. He can't forget about you. Hallelujah. You are precious. You are precious in his eyes. You are precious in his eyes. I just trust him. I tell you, trust is the biggest, is the safest place for a believer. Trust in God. You should say it several times every day. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. So many things you may not have answers to. So many questions you may not be able to, there may be so many situations you may not be able to solve. But you know what? Just constantly say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. So his comfort produces peace and joy, but it should motivate you to trust him. It should motivate you to trust him. Don't trust anything in the world. Don't trust any systems, institutions. Trust God. Trust God. And he will fulfill his word, every word that he spoke to you. He will bring it to pass in due season. Do you feel some comfort in here? Are you receiving him? Let's close this out. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand to your feet and just let him know, Lord, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you, Lord. I will trust in you. Just tell him, Lord, I trust you with every part of my life. I trust you. I trust you with my today. I trust you with my yesterday. I trust you with my tomorrow. I trust you with what I know, what I don't know. I trust you. I trust you with what I understand and what I don't understand. I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with everything that concerns me, that concerns my life. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. There's no room for fear. There's no room for panic. There's no room for anxiety. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your comforting ministry today. The comfort of the great shepherd. We receive it in all of our lives. Everyone, God, that has heard your word today. Lord, everyone that has received your comfort, both those present here and those online and those who may join this service at a later time, let the comfort of the Holy Spirit abide with them all through this week. Everything they do, everywhere they go, let the comforting ministry and the comforting anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon them. God, for those that are troubled, help them see that you are right there with them. God, for those that are tormented by the uncertainties of life that surround them, help them see you are certain. Yes, they may be surrounded by uncertainties, but you are certain. Help them see. Your hands never depart from us. You are a faithful God who fulfills covenant with us. Fulfill your every word, Lord, in the lives of your people. Thank you, God, for perfecting everything that concerns your people. Lord, bring joy in those that are sad, worried. Bring peace to those that feel confusion. Elevate and raise up the heads of those that feel shame and bondage. You are our glory and the lifter up of our heads, Lord. We will trust in you. We will not be afraid. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Come on, shout hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Say, I receive his comfort. I receive his comfort. I have the peace of God. I have the joy of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. Amen. Amen.